Welcome to Insta Poetic Justice, the first podcast of its kind discussing the ever-evolving terrain of poetry and technology and how these two have merged together to create the subgenre that is Insta Poetry. Here I will interview poets about poets as we weigh in on the positives and negatives of this new literary phenomenon. I'm your host, Amy Sophia Mayer. You can check out my poetry books at www.paganpoetess.com. Supporting me via my published works is the best way to ensure all these podcasts remain free and accessible to everyone. And now, on with the show. Welcome back, poetry lovers, to another episode of Insta Poetic Justice. I'm your host, Amy Sophia Mayer, and today I am joined by the fabulous poet Kirsten, known as KT Decker on Instagram. Hi, Kirsten.
Hi.
As always, her info will be in the description box of this episode, so you can check out her latest poems. So, are you ready, Kirsten?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, well, first of all, of course, thank you so much for joining me on my humble little poetry podcast.
It's good to be here, for sure.
Okay, so of course, the first question that I, of course, ask all poets, like, where are you from? And just what do you do outside of poetry? Just give us a little basic synopsis of who is Kirsten.
Okay, I've lived quite a few places. I grew up in Florida, and I still consider myself very much a Florida girl. I miss the beach, I love the salt, the sea, everything about it is just home to me. I did live in Nevada for a couple of years, around the Vegas, Henderson area, and that was definitely an experience, kind of an adventure. I learned a lot. Culturally, it was very different from what I was used to, but even more different now I'm here in Wisconsin. I got married and my husband's here, so I just kind of moved to be with him, and it's very cold, very, very cold. Definitely not what I'm accustomed to, but I'm happy to be here with him. I work in a coffee shop part-time, and I also nanny.
You also what?
I nanny. Nanny for...
You're girls. A nanny. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sweet. So yeah, no, I'm just thinking about how cold Wisconsin must be, because I'm down in Indiana, and it's not nearly as bad, but still, the winters are brutal.
It is, and especially when you're not used to it and you're coming from, 80 degrees and then, all of a sudden it's negative 30. It's quite extreme.
Yeah, no, I remember one instance where, it was in, the negative teens and I, got off the bus to go to class and, I'd washed my hair and my curls froze.
Oh my goodness.
And I had to be very careful not to break the curls.
That's awful. I wonder what would happen if you were to just, would your actual hair snap off or just the frozen?
Yeah, you haven't seen it when it just snaps off because it's condensed in all the water.
Oh my goodness.
Luckily, none of them didn't snap off, but yeah. Wisconsin, you were careful. Indiana, all Midwest, very chilly places.
Definitely.
So I'm just curious, as with some of the other guests that have joined this podcast, I found you because you were a featured poet in the Insta Poet Anthology.
That was super exciting as well.
Yeah, so I'm just curious, I know that this anthology was started because Augie's Bookshelf, they basically had a poetry contest, and I actually entered it, and I didn't win. But I still bought the Insta Poet Anthology.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
And I really liked, everyone that was, contributed to it. So I just wanted to ask, what inspired you to enter that Augie Bookshelf's poetry contest for this anthology?
Actually, I hadn't even heard of it until they commented on one of my posts and said, you should enter the contest. And so from that point, I just started hashtagging all of my work with Augie's Bookshelf. And they ended up picking one that I didn't even really like. I had just put the hashtag on there just to, just to enter. And then, of course, it just kind of escalated from there. So it was really, really cool.
Oh, wonderful. And did they say specifically, what did they say that they liked about your poetry that they wanted to honor you with a place in their anthology?
The one that they chose, they reposted to their page and said something about capturing the feeling of what it's like to feel like you're alone, even when you're surrounded by people, which was a big facet of the piece. And so I was really happy it had actually come across that way and that they highlighted that part of it.
Yeah, wonderful. Then, so for you, what is writing? Is it a hobby? Is it some like a duty you have to do it, an addiction? Like, how do you describe your hobby of writing?
I think it's been a huge process for me. I started writing out of catharsis, I guess. It was just such a huge release for me to be able to get all of my emotions out on paper, and then I felt like I could just kind of move on from them. After a while, I started trying to write a poem a day, and I did that for a year, and it just became an obligation rather than an art form for me. And so I ended up having to stop that because I want to be able to love it, and I felt like I wasn't because I was just driving myself to just complete, to finish, to produce something, and it really wasn't healthy for me in the long run. So now I've kind of, and I'm just writing when I feel inspired or overwhelmed.
Nice, wonderful. And so I'm going to actually read one of the poems that you contributed to InstaPoet because my question is kind of relevant to it. So the question is, like, do you have a particular thought process when it comes to the spacing of stanzas in your poem? Because what inspired this question was specifically the poem that you contributed on page 48 of the anthology. I wonder if mailmen notice and feel sad when people send letters to one another, less and less, until eventually they just stop altogether. So I really liked that one. And, you know, when I read it, I could sort of like, you know, it definitely was a poem that even if the stanzas didn't follow a specific structure, I could understand why they were spaced the way they were for a certain emphasis. But I'm just asking this in the realm of a lot of people criticize InstaPoetry because they feel like the stanzas are just you know, thrown wherever, and there's no like structure or rhyme or reason to it. And I just wanted to ask, like, is that something you think about particularly when you write your poems? Just elaborate.
Yeah, definitely. Great question. No, it actually really is. I read my poems back to myself in my head a lot of the time. And so I just try to rearrange it until I feel like it's really enunciated and I've made a point with the way that it's phrased. So, like, sometimes I'll have the last word as just the last line of the poem because I feel like it's more of a finality than anything else. Just like trailing off, it's like, this is the important part. This is what I want you to grasp. And I try to keep a natural rhythm to it. I think a lot of the time, maybe people don't read it that way, or even I'll go back and I'll read some of my earlier poems and I'll think, oh, that doesn't sound the way that I thought it did when I wrote it. But, you know, it's always experimentation, and I do try to stick with that.
Yeah, like, and especially like with yours, like, I feel again, it has a point in each stanza that you're trying to convey. Like, there are some people like Ruby Kaur, as much as I like Ruby Kaur, there are a few of her poems where the stanzas are just like, if there's like purely a preposition or indefinite article, I'm just like, is that stanza really necessary? But yeah.
Right. It depends.
Right. So let's see. So why do you think poetry, specifically InstaPoetry, has gotten so popular within the last decade? What void do you think it's filling in our culture?
Relatability. I think, in personal humble opinion, gonna go ahead and preface that. I just think with social media, there's so much, I don't know, putting on a different face. I mean, that's something we talk about all the time in our culture, is just how fake everything is or manipulated. And I think that poetry presents a vulnerability that we don't see very often, and it allows people to seem more real. And we feel like people are more like us, you know, when we read these things and it's like, oh, someone else has felt this way too, instead of, oh, they're just presenting what they want us to see about their life. And, you know, vice versa. I think it probably works that way for everyone.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point because, yeah, a lot of people have, you know, criticized the pressure that social media puts on us to present this absolute, you know, perfect ideal just so that other people can be jealous of us. But at the same time, as you mentioned, InstaPoetry highlights a lot of issues that are super relatable, but because they're super relatable, they sometimes get tarred with the brush with the label of, you know, cliche. And so it's like with social media, it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you're showing the good side of your life, you know, in social media, you're accused of being like fake, but if you show a more vulnerable side, which is the majority of Insta poetry, you're like not being original. And yeah, it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. And basically it's just like, some people are just like, I hate social media, like every single aspect of it, whether it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it could just be used for so many different things. And just so many people have opinions. And you're never going to please everybody. So ultimately, I think it's up to the individual to decide what they want to do with it.
Of course. And so, again, you're in the United States. I have interviewed poets elsewhere. But for you, specifically in Wisconsin, how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected your writing process, if at all?
Good one. I wouldn't say very much. I don't know. It did influence some of my writing, just as far as like when it was first getting more publicized, like, okay, what would this look like if it did become big? Like, what would it look like if it affected every single person on the planet? And then it kind of ended up doing that. So I guess just a lot of exploration with different ideas about, it sounds so morbid, but just death, like, you know, the worst that could happen, how would we deal with it type of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's, again, if you take any look at my own poetry, it's very gothic in nature, so I'm all for death. So, do you think commercial and literary success, especially with Insta poetry, is that mutually exclusive in your opinion?
Can you phrase that differently? I don't think I quite understand.
Okay, so do you think commercial and literary success are mutually exclusive in poetry? Like, a lot of people dismiss Insta poetry because it's so popular. There's the assumption that because it's so popular, it must have been watered down to the point that it is quote unquote accessible to everyone. And so that's why people criticize Insta poetry as not having that much depth. Like, if anything, there's like a reverse snobbery where the more popular it is, the more people will hate on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, do you believe that they're, you know, that those can't overlap, or do you think they have a point that accessibility automatically means a lesser literary quality? Like, what do you think?
Not at all. I do think a lot of the time popular poets or poems are very similar. I can't speak as to why that is. I don't necessarily think that's because it's not meaningful. I think sometimes things just explode and sometimes they just don't. There's not really a formula for it. And I think that all poetry really means something to someone. Like, someone was feeling something and wrote this, and we should respect it for that. Not, you know, disregard it because, oh, it's accessible. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Of course.
I don't know if
that's all right. No, that makes perfect sense. Thank you so much. And so, last question. So, like me, you are a smaller Instagrammer. Do you have plans to grow your Instagram, you know, channel? And or do you plan to take your poetry in another direction? Like, you've already deviated from Instagram by, you know, going into this, you know, anthology of a physical book. So do you plan on continuing that? Like, what do you think you'll want to do with your poetry moving forward?
I really hope to one day put some together into a book. That's kind of been on my mind for a while. And of course, I have some stuff drafted. And that's kind of part of the reason I stopped posting so often, was because I wanted to save things that had never been read before. But that's not really a driving factor for me right now. It's just something that I hope to accomplish. Other than that, I'm really content just kind of working on my own individual projects and maybe, you know, maybe submitting for a contest every once in a while, like InstaPoet, or doing something like this is so fun. But, you know, it's not my career, I guess.
Mm, right. All right, then. Thank you so much. And would you be so kind to pull out the poems that you will read for us?
Of course. So I have all three. Do you want me to read one and then stop, or just read one and then go on to the next one?
Yeah, well, just read one, and then maybe we might talk about it a little bit. But yeah, I'll let you know when we move on to the next poem.
Okay, sure. So this one is called Tenacity. Let us pretend that our minds align, even if only for a moment, as we drown in the feeling that this was meant to be. And we are not just attempting to defy our destiny.
I like that. I especially like the phrase of aligning our minds, because it's like the stars aligning, and just especially I went back to star imagery with the destiny, like galaxy, like all of that stuff.
I love that. I think a lot of that really just influences my writing because it's so endless. You know, I'm fascinated by infinity. Of course, who isn't? But super cool.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. How about the second poem?
Sure. This one's called Environments. I have been told that sometimes to heal, we must get away from the towns where we were hurt and all of the places we used to visit. For regardless of our current mental health, the memories still tend to follow and cause the process of recovering to be even more delicate than it was before. But a fresh start can make all the difference.
Oh, I really like that one because I think it's so true. Like, you know, we attach memories to physical places. And sometimes, no matter how much time has passed, if you're in the same place where something like really, really bad happened, like it can get you like stuck in a way.
Definitely. Yeah, I've experienced that myself and definitely drew from it for this.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm definitely one of those people, which is probably why I've traveled, you know, so, so much, you know, my specialty professionally is Middle Eastern studies. And so I've studied Arabic and lived in the Middle East. Wow. And yeah.
Wow. Yeah, definitely starting over everywhere, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Yeah, thank you. And so how about the third poem, please?
Yeah, this one is called Voices.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just waiting to be heard, whether through songs or poems or even our silence. As expression looks different for every single one of us, and sometimes the best we can offer is a whisper through the darkness or a shout into the void and hope that it lands amongst ears that will listen.
I like it. I like especially that silence has its own sort of sound.
It does. It really does. Thank you for catching that.
Yeah, no, I liked that part. And again, you know, some people, your last bit of maybe we just need to scream into void, hoping someone will listen. I feel like that's relatable to a lot of people, especially with technology. And even though if their, you know, their rhetoric, you know, the internet is infinite, everlasting, and some people think they're just shouting into the ether and no one's picking up on it. So definitely it's touching upon that innate desire that please, maybe someone will listen and someone will hear it and like it.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Alrighty then. Well, thank you so much for sharing those with us. Those were beautiful. And so now we can move on to the Insta poet of discussion for this episode, which is the one and only Atticus.
Wonderful.
Yeah, as you know, I gave all my guest speakers a sort of like big list of poets and asked them to choose their top three. So I'm curious, why did you want to discuss Atticus with me?
Honestly, he was a huge part of the reason I started writing. I don't even know why. I just discovered him and I loved almost everything he had written. It just put me in a different place and I wanted to make people feel like that. You know, to just capture those like little everyday things that you don't quite grasp in the moment, and then you're looking back later and you're like, "Oh wow, this was important. This is something I'm going to remember." I think he just does an extraordinary job of that and just writes so beautifully.
Okay, then. Yeah, I only have one of his books that I specifically purchased in preparation for the podcast. I have his latest one, The Truth About Magic.
Mm-hmm.
So good one. So I have a little paragraph that I copy-pasted about him. So Atticus is a Canadian poet. His books, The Dark Between Stars and The Truth About Magic, became instant New York Times bestsellers. Atticus writes poems incorporating themes of love, relationship, and adventure. In addition to his books, Atticus shares posts with his 1.5 million followers on social media, including Facebook and Instagram, although I think he's surpassed 1.5 million by now.
Probably.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with, you know, again, all my poems that I chose from him are from, again, this book, The Truth About Magic. And the first poem I want to read is on page 90 of this collection, so let's fix it. And none of them are named, I don't think. No, all of them are untitled. Give me a room in Paris, the smaller the better, and it must be winter, and it must be cold, so we can make it hot, too hot to sit still, and the window must be thin so we can hear the bells, and the power must surge and bubble, so the light flicker and the records skip. Let the water be weak, so our coffee is strong, so we can stay up late to dance. Give me this, Paris, and I will paint for you all the truths I know about magic.
Wow. Just so stunning. I just feel like I'm there.
Mm-hmm. And I like, you know, a lot of Insta poets touch upon love and relationships, but I like his extra adding of specifically the adventure with Paris and Rome, because those are two cities that I visited and that I love very, very much.
Wow. That's amazing. I've always wanted to visit Paris, and I think I sort of live vicariously through these poems. So to think of actually having been there is incredible.
Is there something moving in the background of your room?
Yes, it's actually a train. I live right next to the railroad tracks. I apologize about that.
Oh, no, that's fine. Nothing is worse than I did a brief summer program at Willamette University. The dorms were right by the train tracks, and every night, 4 a.m., like, blaring, you could not.
Oh, that's awful. Ours is pretty loud, but I feel like we've kind of grown accustomed to it, so it doesn't bother us too much, but it is annoying.
Alrighty then. So would you like to share one of the poems of Atticus that you picked?
Yes. Also untitled, of course. Come, my darling, it is never too late to begin our love again. That's it.
Yeah, never too late. It's a cute sentiment, but I'm not sure I wholly agree with it as a sort of life lesson, because I'm just very rigid, where people have their one chance with me, and if they screw it up, that's it, even if they are genuinely better. Even if they are genuinely better as people and have improved or, you know, grown in some psychological way, it's still like, nope, you need to start that clean slate with someone else. We're done.
I love that perspective. I just come from completely the opposite, because my husband and I actually were high school sweethearts, and then we broke up for a while and got back together. So personally, I look at it and I relate to it, and I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. But obviously, it's not across the board for everyone.
No, because for me, I'm just a very prideful person. And so if you didn't accept me then, I'm just like, screw you. You don't get a second chance.
Oh, I get it for sure. It was a lot of convincing.
Yep. So here, let me pull out another one. This is from page 130 of The Truth About Magic. In her heart and soul, she set fire to all things that held her back, and from the ashes, she stepped into who she always was.
I love that, because it's so opposite from all of the poems today, and just the viewpoint today that relationships do define you. You know, we find our identity in them so much, and he just captures really well the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, and I'm surprised I kind of like this so much, because I'm okay with the use of cliches as long as you do it in a, like, with a little sort of twist. And certainly, rising from the ashes, that whole sort of, like, you know, resurrection, phoenix, you know, imagery, that's used a lot. And yeah, I just like that imagery. She set fire to all things that held her back. So just burning the patriarchy down and be like, screw all of you.
Right. Yeah, it's super powerful.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Shit, would you like to share another one, please?
Sure. This one is super short. Sadness is the most powerful tool of creation.
This is very true, because I'm certainly one of those poets where I will write that disgustingly bad poetry after heartbreak, or at least I used to before I was married.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sometimes I still pull from past things just because I feel like my writing is so much better. I don't write well when I'm happy. I really don't.
Yeah, like, I don't know. There's just something more intense about
it. Exactly.
Particularly in writing.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if that translates, like, across artistic forms. Like, I don't know if painters feel that way or sculptors feel that way. But there's something melancholy in the solitude of writing.
Yes, I agree. And I think also with, you know, painting, for instance, or even dancing, like, you can visually portray happiness so much better than you can with writing.
This is true. Mm-hmm. Alrighty then. So here's my next poem, which was page 133, kind of short. She stood there bathing in the grand forest of his love, with only the quiet rustle of the treetops against the sky to remind her she was real at all.
I love that one.
I like it because, like, you know, especially with COVID and the pandemic, there's a mask mandate in Indiana. So really, apart from essential errands and grocery shopping, the only sort of stuff I do outside the home now, I'm working totally from home now, is my husband and I will go into to the Lake Country and hike. And it's like 6.7 miles worth of forest. And just, you know, they have a specific term for it called forest bathing. And it's just really good for your mental health. And yeah, that's totally what I thought of.
I'm sure there's just so much that goes into that. Like the solitude, being surrounded by nature, the quiet, it's just the ultimate place of peace.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty then, how about your next poem?
Okay. And also, is it okay that I'm not doing page numbers?
No, that's fine. I'm just giving page numbers because mine all came from the same book.
Okay, yeah, mine are kind of sporadic, so just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. The funny thing about chasing the past is that most people wouldn't know what to do if they caught it.
Again, super short, but that is deep. I like it.
Yes, those are definitely my favorite types, just like very to the punch, and you kind of feel like you've just been hit in the gut, but in a good way.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, you wish for something and then you get it. And then it's like, but you got it in a really roundabout way. And it's like, oh, like now what do I do?
Exactly. You've wanted something for so long that you're just lost in that. And you don't even know the ending. It's just about the longing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another one. This one's short, but I love it. Bookstores are wormholes to all the could have beens, the has beens, and all the maybe bees.
That's cute.
It's like Atticus with a twist of Dr. Seuss.
It is very much inspired.
Yeah, I especially like it because, you know, I'm just a huge reader. I always did enjoy reading, but I'm just doing it a lot now because, again, apart from hiking with my husband in the forest, reading has essentially become my major extracurricular activity beyond podcasts, of course, and in actuality, podcasts are just an extension of my reading hobby because all of it is like literary analysis like this.
Definitely. Yeah, you kind of feel at home in those poems. Like, I was a big reader myself when I was a kid, and even now, just bookstores themselves, they're just so, I don't know, they're so full of something. You could just spend forever in there.
Yeah, I feel so bad for all the indie bookstores that are closing because of the pandemic.
I know. Yeah,
like I'm trying to make the effort, like, with Amazon to do, like, third-party sellers so that I'm giving them some of their business.
Yeah, definitely. We live in a downtown area, really tiny downtown, and we're just super intentional about trying to keep those small businesses open and running. There's so many around here, especially.
Yeah. Alrighty then, your next poem, please.
Okay. I owe her a lot of my inspiration, but I also owe coffee. And I had to quit both for reasons of the heart.
Oh, that's funny. I like it.
Yeah, me too. I'm a huge analogy person. So when you just throw in like any type of metaphor and relate it to a human or a relationship, I am there for it.
Yeah. I need to read that one to my husband because he's like, he needs his coffee every single day and he needs it so strong.
Just to live, right?
Yeah, literally just to function. But here, okay, what's my next one? Page 211. Oh, yeah. Your scars are not your shame, he said. They are your story, and I love stories. And I like this one because, again, your scars, like, making you who you are, and that's beautiful. That's a very common theme you see in poetry and insta-poetry by extension. But I just like how he makes it a little different. He says that they are your story, and I love stories. I felt that gave him his own little twist on him. It's like, okay, I'm going to allow it.
Yeah, definitely. I think he does that with a lot of his poetry. Like, when he first came out, I feel like it was a little bit more, a little less cliche. And then as his books, like, The Truth About Magic is actually probably my least favorite because I feel like it's the most filled with that. But I still...
Oh, interesting.
Spin on them. Yeah, the first one, Love Her Wild, I would say is probably my favorite because it's the most unique and the most direct, I think.
Interesting. No, I'm interested to hear that, you know, you are familiar enough with his works and liked him so much that you can, make these observations. Like, the only poet I could make any sort of, like, long-term observations on would be, like, I just have all these random Insta-poetry books. The only poet that I have, like, absolutely all their books is Nikita Gill, because she's my absolute favorite.
Oh, she's very good. Very good.
Okay. All right, then. One more poem from you, please.
Okay. We are all born free and spend a lifetime becoming slaves to our own false truths.
Ooh, that's very, like, Rousseau.
Yes.
Like, the minute that poem started, it made me think of, you know, Rousseau's famous, French line, l'homme est né libre et partout il est en enfer.
Beautiful.
Like, you know, men are born free and everywhere they're in chains.
Right. I wonder where he drew his inspiration from.
Super Rousseau. Yeah. And also, I just know because my husband is a big scholar of philosophy.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. So you guys can kind of compare and contrast notes and figure things out together.
Yeah. All right, then. And here's the last one, page 232 of Truth About Magic. On those nights when the thick snow drifts through moonlight and the sky looks like falling stars, close your eyes, look up, tongue out to the gods, and feel the cool ash burn you. I just love, you know, not that maybe he's the first one to do it, but any time, like, equating snow and ash, I just love that sort of fire-ice dichotomy.
For sure. It's such a contrast, but it's so true. I mean, they're both extremes.
Well, and especially, like, just that, it makes me think of, you know, have you seen Game of Thrones?
I have not.
Yeah, well, there's this one scene where, you know, Khaleesi, the mother of dragons, Daenerys Targaryen, she has this vision and there's, like, what appears to be snow, but then you're, like, really questioning, like, is it snow or is it ash?
Oh, was it? Was it ash?
I don't know. It was, like, a sort of premonition or vision. It ended up being, like, both.
Interesting. I love that.
Because it was snowing, but also her dragon burned everything.
Oh no, that's awful. See, I would get way too emotionally attached to people in that show, and then they would just die. So
that's what cut you off.
Yeah, the idea.
What I'm doing, actually, since the show is over, and I wasn't as offended by the show's ending as some other people were, but what I'm doing now for Game of Thrones is I'm rereading there's a podcast that I love called Unspoiled, and they're doing Game of Thrones where they read a few chapters at a time and then have a podcast episode analyzing everything.
Oh, wow.
So what I'm doing is I bought Game of Thrones, and so I'm reading those few chapters, and then after I read those few chapters, I listen to the podcast, you know, hear all they say, and then I go read the next chapters, then I listen to another podcast episode. It's a really nice way to engage with books and podcasts simultaneously.
Oh, definitely. I've never even heard of that before, but it's a really cool idea to just be able to delve so deep into it that way and hear other people's perspectives on it as well.
Yeah, so if anyone's interested, it's Natasha and Rashawn at Unspoiled Podcast, A Song of Ice and Fire. So, alrighty then. Well, thank you so much for sharing all those poems with me and discussing them. I think we had some good points to make about all of the poems, and now we can move on to the, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek for activity of the podcast, which is, you know, we'll read an excerpt of a review criticizing Atticus and we'll see if we agree with them or not. So this was a 1-star review on Amazon for his latest book, The Truth About Magic. So here, what does this person have to say? Atticus returns with a third book of mainly the same of his previous two books. Some of the pages are nearly blank and full of trite universal mirror blurbs of wine, kissing girls, Paris, and obsession with catering to a fan base that follows his every whim on social media. The typical Insta-poet book, Atticus is very clever at marketing by wearing a mask, but just like pro wrestling, not everything is as it seems. I think Atticus is probably a decent writer, but he must keep repeating the same formula that is the latest downward cultural craze of Instagram poetry. In many ways, that is his genius in marketing, but not in art or writing, in my opinion. That being said, if you liked his previous books, you will love this. To each their own, you can read this book in a few minutes in a bookstore. So, your thoughts.
Okay, I agree with some of what they said, just that he does have kind of repetitive ideas within his poetry, but I think that's what makes him popular. I think that's what people love about him, is that he does create a dreamscape that we all just live in when we read his books. And I think that's working for him, and if that's what he loves to do, and if everyone loves reading it, then why are they coming for him like this? They just sound so angry. I don't understand.
And it's interesting that he says it's mainly the same of his previous Boo books, because I would be, compared to this random, sort of not very nice, very emotionally charged review, I would much more put more credit in your observation that maybe his books were more original in the beginning, and then he started to go a little bit more mainstream.
That's what I would say. I don't know. I'm really curious about the personal problem there, though.
Yeah, no, they level another accusation of him that a lot of people attack Ruby Core with, which is that they say, like, she's very good at marketing. Like, she's very good at what she does as a social media influencer or whatever, but she's not an artist. Like, she's not a poet. And so this person is basically saying the same thing about Atticus.
Right, which I do disagree with, for sure.
Yeah. Like, Atticus is probably a decent writer, but he must keep repeating the same formula so that it is the latest downward cultural craze of Instapo. Okay, so yeah, downward cultural craze. You know, I think, you know, there are some legitimate evils of social media and the prevalence of social media, especially, like, you know, spreading misinformation, like, to the point that Facebook is getting pressure, you know, from the governments, you know, to be more vigilant about what information they allow to be posted on their platforms. And so for me, like, there are a lot of genuine concerns about social media that we should be thinking about. But for me, like, Instapoetry is not the precursor to a downward, culturally inept dystopian society.
Oh, definitely not. No, I don't.
Yeah, so it's very, like, alarmist to me, because I don't know, like, I consider myself a snob in my sense of moderation, where I take pride in the fact that I love the classics, like Edgar Allan Poe and Lord Byron, but that I can also appreciate, you know, the modern stuff, and I'm not necessarily judging them on the same criteria. I accept them each for as they are, and for the time period that they were written in.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the way it should be. Like, society has evolved from that, not necessarily for the better and not for the worse. This is just where we are today. And I think that we can appreciate the way it looks now, just the way that they could in the 1800s. It's still art. It always has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alrighty then. Well, I have nothing more to say on that, just that I disagree with. Yeah. He says it a little bit nicer. Like, we laugh at this, but honestly, I've read one-star reviews on other podcast episodes that were even worse.
Oh my goodness.
And were even meaner.
That's awful.
Yeah. So anyway, so now let's move on to a more uplifting activity to end the day with our exercise of hashtag Instapoetry. So do you have your phone handy?
I do. It's right next to me.
Right. So if you could just go to Instagram, and if you could just look up the hashtag Instapoetry, and it doesn't have to be the very first one, just whichever one that comes to your mind. So sure. Let's, I'm going to pick one at random. This is by Poetrygram, where poetry is like with an IE instead of Y. So what does he say? Daily reminder. If they want to talk to you, they will. If they want to be with you, they will. If they wanted to make things work, they will. Don't let things be one-sided. It's not healthy and it's not fair to you. Like, again, good sentiment. I feel like it's a good quote, but it's not speaking to me as a poem per se.
It reminds me actually a lot of one that I wrote a while back, just about not being anyone's second choice. And I think it has that idea, but it's just not structured the way that a poem would be.
Right. So yeah, so why don't you pick one?
Sure, I have one. It's really short. It's been posted on the Squash Stories, but it's by someone who initialed RJ, and it's just, Is it happiness or is it avoiding sadness?
Ooh. Like, I actually like that one better because it's like, mm-hmm. you know, we think of these very stark binaries of happy, sad, good, evil. But again, like, you can be not unhappy, but also not fully happy.
Right. Just kind of coasting.
Yeah. Here, let's see. This one is by a person whose username is Lonely Penguin.
Oh, interesting.
I hold on to the hope that one day we will be together again, like the feather in an open palm, waiting for the breeze to take us. In time, we will fly again.
I don't love the use of the term flying again. I think it's also pretty overused and kind of cliche, mm-hmm. but I do love the feather. And just, I don't know, the idea of fragility like that, I think it's really well portrayed.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree. Like, I feel like it's stronger in the first stanzas and then it falls a little flat at the end.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, yeah. So, would you like to pick one?
Sure. This one was posted on Poetry's Gram. Also very short. Signed by Lorelei. And is, I'm kind because I know how cruel feels.
Again, nice sentiment. Again, like, writing is so arbitrary. Like, I can't even say. It's purely an emotional response that I'm judging these poems. It's not like I have this quote-unquote criteria. Like, some poems could be so, so simple and I not consider them poetry, but others could be so, so simple, mm-hmm. but still, for whatever reason, it sparks my, you know, interest and I deem it poetry, so.
I get it. Yeah, it's like there's an invisible line.
Yeah, and then I think this was also, I saw it to the Squashed Stories, like, account. So, but this one was by Chloe Freyne. Mm-hmm. Freyne. It's all about who you want when you're, it's all about who you want when you're drunk, when your hands won't stop shaking and your mind has lost hold of everything but a name.
It's so funny that you chose that one. That was the next one I was going to read.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no, I kind of like it just because I'm definitely one of those people where, well, first of all, even if I'm drunk or tipsy, I don't, like, become belligerent, and I really hate people who use the excuse of, you know, I'm sorry, I was drunk, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, like, if you're drunk and you're saying stuff, like, I don't interpret that so much as, oh, you're saying dumb things and you don't mean them. Like, when someone is drunk, I think, you know, all their, like, defenses are lowered. So it's like, if they're saying something when they're drunk, then that must be what they're really thinking all the time, and they just don't have the filter right now.
Oh, definitely. I've always believed that. And Chloe Frain, I don't know how you say her name, but I actually follow her, and she posts amazing work. Like, I just think she captures those ideas really well.
Oh, nice. Does it? Let's see. Does it? Nice. So, okay. Would you like to read one more, please?
Sure. This one was posted on Poets and Texts and is by S.J. Marvin. Sometimes you have to let go of others so you can better hold on to yourself.
Yeah, way too much. I need more creativity than that.
I know. It's like almost.
Again,
like, I feel like if you take an idea like that and put your own spin on that, it can be super creative and super relatable, but it's like you're just saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, and it's like, again, you cannot kind of understand certain critics of Insta poetry, you know, for, again, things like that. But at the same time, I don't think the Instagram algorithm or any social media algorithm is the decider of if it's popular, then it's crap, you know? So, right. Like, some things can pick up and they're genuinely really good, and then some things can pick up and they're just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I agree. And it's all very subjective.
Yeah. So here's the last one I am going to read. This one was from High Poets Society. Mm-hmm. And it's, you're the fizz in my cola, the tiss when I pour. I don't know if it's the caffeine or the sugar, but I keep wanting more.
I think that's kind of. Yeah. Yeah, it's unique, for sure.
Yeah, like, you know, people, analogies of, like, wine and, like, coffee and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. We even read one with Atticus, but cola is not used as much, and I think that's a cute modern twist to it.
Yeah, definitely. It, you know, makes you think of being alive.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty then, and that wraps up our episode of Insta Poetic Justice. Thank you so much for joining us, Kirsten.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, and tune in next time, everyone, where we will discuss another Insta Poetry Giant with another poet. Take care, everyone. Bye.